My children have learned that when we sit down at the table to eat together, that we're always going to pray before we eat, and so they automatically hold their hands out. A couple years back, my son David decided he wasn't going to pray for this meal, and he folded his arms in defiance, and his big sister was obviously concerned about his spiritual condition before God, and so she said, "David, you have to pray to God." She said, "He is your father-in-law." And he sat up real straight because he didn't want to disappoint. Well, I know that you don't have to be here tonight. You came because you want to be here. Out of all the other things you had going in your busy life, you wanted to be with God's people. Of all the decisions you could have made, you chose to come and worship God, because as we have just sung, you consider it a privilege to bear His cross. And I want you to know how much I commend you for your decision and for your interest in the Word of God. We have a strong contingent in the audience tonight from the Southside Church in Pasadena. I must say to you, one of the privileges of being at a place for now 15 years is to watch the young people as they grow up and become godly young men and women. When I first came to Southside, we had at that time some 8-year-old boys who were twins. They're in the audience tonight. And they would always sit on the front row. And I was making my way to the front of the auditorium, shaking hands, and got to them finally, and one of them said, I couldn't tell them apart back then, one of them said, "Mr. Bubba, are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "I sure am." And he said, "You are?" And his face lit up real big, and his eyes were real big, and my head got real big. And he turned to his twin brother and said, "He gives short lessons." And that's why he was excited. Well, I don't plan to preach very long tonight, but I do covet your attention in the few moments we will have together as we consider building character from Bible characters. And I invite your attention to Numbers chapter 13 tonight, which is where we will find our character. Numbers chapter 13. Inasmuch as we have been looking at Bible characters this week, I'd like to read some names to you to see if these ring familiar, to see what you know about these men. Shammua, Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sethur, Nabai, Geul. Anybody name their kids those Bible characters? Anybody? They are mostly unknown to us. But apparently they had some influence among the Israelite people, because when it came to following these 10 men, the nation as a whole chose to listen to their words other than the words of their two counterparts, whom you undoubtedly have heard of, Joshua and Caleb. You see, when it came time for the Israelites to inherit the land of Canaan, the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses led them right to the brink, and they planned to pass right on through. They had received the law at Mount Sinai. They had entered a covenant relationship with God, and now they were ready to go make this land theirs. And the Israelites decided, "Let us select a man from each tribe and send these 12 men into the land, and let us spy out the land. We want to know about its cities. We want to know about its people. We want to know about the produce there. Is it really what we've heard? Is it really a land flowing with milk and honey?" And so they chose one man from each tribe, 12 in all, and sent them there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the men came back with their report. one of the teachers in our young little kids' Bible classes once illustrated this story to her children by getting a broomstick and blowing up some purple balloons and tying them to the broomstick, because it said when the men returned, they brought the clusters of grapes, and it took two men to carry it. And they brought back the produce, and sure enough, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But the people are huge there. The cities are fortified. And we could never overtake them. Now I want you to look with me at verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." 12 men returned. But what a different perspective that 10 of them had versus the perspective of Joshua and Caleb. You see, 10 men saw it from the ground up. Only 2 saw it from heaven down. 10 men said, "We are like grasshoppers in their sight." Joshua and Caleb said, "It's the other men who are grasshoppers in the sight of God. We can overtake them." I am always interested in phrases that are used to describe Bible characters, especially when a phrase is unique to a Bible character. In other words, this is the only person in the Bible who's ever described this way. We looked at David last night. The only man in Scripture who's called a man after God's own heart. It's called that twice. Abraham, 3 times in Scripture, is the only man who's ever called the friend of God. Well, I want to introduce you tonight to a phrase that is used only for Caleb. 6 times in the books of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, 6 times Caleb is described as a man who followed the Lord fully. He followed the Lord fully. He is a bit overshadowed by Joshua, who became the military leader, but his namesake is still in our auditorium tonight. And especially, do we want to be people who follow a man who followed the Lord fully? And so I want you to see 3 things tonight of why Caleb was called that, and 3 ways that we can be like him. What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? Well, the first thing I want you to notice is you follow the Lord fully, number one, by displaying a different spirit. You follow the Lord fully by displaying a different spirit. That's what God Himself recognized about Caleb. Fast forward to Numbers chapter 14 and look at verse 24. There the Lord said, "My servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." He followed the Lord fully, and God said he displayed a different spirit. Caleb was outnumbered, wasn't he? Caleb came back in a group of 12, and 10 men saw things completely differently. But I want you to notice that Caleb didn't change his story because it was unpopular. Caleb didn't back down because he wasn't in the majority. Later on, they're going to say, "Let's pick up stones and stone him with stones." And Caleb very easily could have said, "Well, wait a minute. Maybe I don't remember things, like I said. Maybe you're right, and I'll just go along with what you said, and I'll spare my life. No, he continued to say, we can do this because God is with us. And because of that different spirit, he followed the Lord fully. He wasn't interested in being different for the sake of being different. He wanted to be different for the sake of being right. We always had big dogs at our house growing up. And you know, when you have big dogs, you have to buy the big bags of dog food. And so when I would go shopping with Mom, see, Ginger never helped. When I would go shopping with Mom, we would always put the bag of dog food at the bottom of the shopping cart to save the space at the top for all the other groceries. Well, we got it to the cashier and paid, and we got out to the car, and I was helping Mom load the groceries into the car. And she saw the bag of dog food down there. She said, well, we didn't pay for that. What an impression it made on a little young boy to see his mother march us back into the grocery store with the cart, go straight to customer service, and say, we need to pay for this dog food. We got out to the parking lot, and they didn't charge us. And the workers and the other people in line were saying, I can't believe she did that. And I walked out of the store and said, yeah, that's my mom. A different spirit. Something that makes other people say, well, why would you do that? How could you do that? Caleb didn't care about things like that because he was following the Lord fully. You know who he's the exact opposite of? The Apostle Peter. Look to, keep your finger here, but look to Matthew chapter 26. And notice what it says about Peter when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now remember, this is the same Peter who had boasted at the Last Supper and said, Lord, even if all of these other disciples fall away, I will never do that. I'm ready to go to prison and to death. Well, in Matthew chapter 26, when they come and arrest Jesus, notice what it says about Peter in verse 58. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. I'm afraid there are a lot of disciples trying to do just that. Let me follow you, Lord, just close enough where I can see that you're where you're going. I can still make out the silhouette. Now, I may at times not want other people to think I'm with you, but I'll be far enough back that I could still be counted as one of your followers. Is that how you follow him at a distance when it might cost you something, just backing up a little? Are we going to be people like Caleb who follow the Lord fully, even when it's unpopular to do so? You may have to take a stance where you work or where you go to school that no one else believes in. You may have to stand up and say, I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the rest of the room may laugh at me. You may think I'm an imbecile, but I'm going to stand with the Word of God. That's following the Lord fully. But I would remind you tonight that it was not Caleb versus the world. It wasn't Caleb versus the Canaanites or the sons of Anak. Caleb was standing up against his own people, the congregation of Israel, his own family. Caleb was having to make a stand against them and follow the Lord fully. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to stand up in your house and say, we shouldn't be watching this? We shouldn't be talking about this? You ready to say, like Caleb's partner. Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you prepared to stand in the congregation and say, we shouldn't be doing this? We shouldn't be teaching this. Don't you love what's said about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17? Paul and Silas had come to preach. And they could have very easily said, well, the apostles said it. They're not going to lead us astray. They're not going to take us down some path of false doctrine. We're going to believe them and take their word for it. No, it says they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's following the Lord fully, even when you have to stand all by yourself. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, speaking of his defense of the gospel, at verse 16, at my first defense, no one supported me. So he changed his message, right? He adapted to fit the crowd. He did what was popular, right? But all deserted me, may it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Are you ready to have the attitude that says, if everybody deserts me, if nobody stands with me, the Lord stood with me? That's the different spirit required for those who follow the Lord fully. A few years back, we had a little brown spot in our front lawn that in my brilliance, I just decided, well, it just needs water. And so I turned the sprinkler on for 15 minutes. Next Saturday, I went out and the brown spot was bigger. And so I turned the sprinkler on for 30 minutes. And the brown spot kept getting bigger and bigger and the water bill getting higher and higher. And so finally I realized that it's not water. And I looked across the street and there were other people who were having the same problem I was having, except for the guy on the corner lot. And his grass looked like a golf tournament on Sunday afternoon. Green and lush and verdant. Whose door do you think I knocked on and said, could you help me? I'm having some trouble with my grass. Was it the one who looked just like me? Same problems I was having? Or the one who was different? The one who was successful? The one who knew what he was doing. We have to be different so that the world sees Christ living in us. We have to be disciples who don't follow him at a distance, but follow him fully and are not afraid to do so, to make disciples of all the nations. What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? Well, Caleb teaches that you do it by displaying a different spirit. But I want you to notice, secondly, you follow the Lord fully like Caleb. Number two, by trusting God to keep His word. You follow the Lord fully by trusting God for what He's promised. Look to Numbers chapter 14 at verse 30. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Because of their lack of faith, the Israelites were punished for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. One day, 1 year for each day they had spied out the land. 40 years you're going to wander in the wilderness before you enter this land because you've not believed me and trusted in me. And besides that, all of the men, 20 years up, will die in that 40-year period. And the only two who will enter the land are the two who trusted in me, Joshua and Caleb. If you'll bear with me with some numbers just very quickly. We learn at the beginning of this book, chapter 1 and verse 45, that the number of men in Israel, 20 years old and up, was 603,500 men. For 40 years, these men would die. That's 15,000 a year. That's 40 funerals a day. We had a period a couple of years back at Southside where we had 5 funerals in 1 month. And that was hard. Not because we were concerned about those who died. We believed they had made their calling and election sure. They had prepared themselves for death. But 5 funerals in 1 month was exhausting emotionally. And boy, that took a hard a toll on all of us. We had a time getting over that. This is on average 40 funerals a day for 40 years. Do you think you might wonder, well, am I going to be next? I tell you who didn't was Caleb and Joshua, because they had heard God say, all of these will die. The only two who will enter are Joshua and Caleb. And because Caleb followed the Lord fully, he trusted in God to keep his word. Look ahead to Joshua chapter 14. Now this is past the 40 years of wandering. And notice what Caleb says on this occasion. They're ready to go into the land. This time they will enter. And notice what Caleb said at Joshua 14 at verse 6. The sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me and made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and your children, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Caleb said, "You know the word which God promised. And I don't care how many years have passed since God spoke it. I trust in Him to keep His word and to allow me to enter the land that was sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You ever have passages in the Bible that no matter how many times you read them, just continue to cause the hair on the back of your neck to stand up? I mean, you've read them 100 times and still there is a sensation about them that causes you to want to know more and to appreciate God and all that He does for us. Look to Joshua chapter 21. I want to share one with you at verse 43. Joshua 21 and 43. "So the Lord gave Israel all the land which He had sworn to give their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that He had sworn to their fathers, and no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave them all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed, all came to pass. Not one. Nothing that God had said to them, all the way back to Abraham, was not fulfilled. Everything came to pass. That's why we can follow Him fully, because we can trust His promises. We can have faith that He will keep His word. Real, true faith, says D.L. Moody, is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. Even in things we don't understand, even in times we wonder why, we can put our confidence in God that if He has promised us this will happen, He cannot lie. Can I ask you tonight, Caleb was willing to wait 45 years. How long are you willing to wait on the Lord? What is your limit? At what point will you say, no more? What about when you feel all alone? What about when you feel no one cares? No one understands. No one knows what I'm going through. I'm having to do this all by myself. I'm having to carry this load all alone. Do you trust God's promise of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5? For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God said that. He promised that. He said, I will. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You trust in God? What about when you feel like it's just not worth it? I can't serve another day. I can't go one more step. Do you trust God? His promise in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. You believe that? Are you willing to forfeit your crown because of the cross you have to bear? Because of persecution, tribulation, mistreatment? Are you going to trust God's promise who said, you be faithful all the way to the end, and I will reward you with the victor's crown? That's what He promised. How long will you wait on the Lord? When you follow the Lord fully, you trust Him to keep His word. Caleb did that. Let's follow the man who followed the Lord fully. And then number three, how do you follow the Lord fully? Will you display a different spirit? You trust in God to do what He promised He would do. And then number three, you finish what you started. Caleb followed the Lord by finishing the work he had begun. You see, he didn't decide, well, I'm just going to fade into the sunset. After the 40 years of wondering, the Israelites were then told, take one leader from every tribe to apportion the land for an inheritance. So we're ready to go back in, this time to inhabit the land, and so we need each tribe to select one leader again. After 40 years, guess who the tribe of Judah chose as their representative? Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 18. 40 years later, he is still leading his kinspeople. And so then they decide, well, let's divide up the land. Let's decide who's going to live where. And so in Joshua chapter 14, notice what is said at verse 10. Caleb said, "And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And behold, now I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." As an 85-year-old man who had put in his dues, who was caused to wander for 40 years, not because of his lack of faith, but because of the lack of faith of the nation, could have very easily said, "Well, give me a good place, let me grow my garden, let me set up a recliner, I'll put up my feet, and you go drive out the Canaanites, which you were too weak to do 40 years ago." But he was prepared to finish the work that he started. And he said, "You let me go out there. I'm just as strong today. I'm ready for war. And we're going to go accomplish what God sent us to do 45 years ago." You see, following the Lord fully means to completion. Not starting and stopping. Not starting and then saying, "Well, I didn't know this was involved." But firm to the end. Because when you follow the Lord fully, you finish what you started. Chapter 15 and verse 14. "And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." When you play football, street football, you do what's called man up. That is, if you're playing defense and the other side is on the line of scrimmage, you call out your man. And what you usually do is pick someone you think you can keep up with. And so I would always pick Jeff. And you man up. Don't you love what Caleb did? He said, "I got the sons of Anak." 85-year-old man. You know what's interesting about that? It was the sons of Anak that the other 10 tribes said, "They're too big. They're giants over there. We could never take them." Caleb said, "I got them." And he drove out the Anakim from his land. The land God had sworn to him. And he finished what he started. It's important for us to begin our work in God's service. It is just as essential to bring it to completion. I tell you, what's hard about being at a place for 15 years is looking through the old church directories. And you see names of people who have gone on to their reward, and you rejoice in that. But you also see names of people who didn't finish what they started. They served for a little while, but they were like the seed that Jesus said was planted on rocky soil. No firm root. They sprung up immediately, and then when some kind of persecution arose, they withered away. Or they grew and were able to grow established roots, but soon the thorns of life, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things choked them out. And they quit serving the Lord. You see, the devil doesn't care if he gobbles us up like the bird did the seed, or he chokes us out a little at a time just so he keeps us from completing our spiritual work. When you follow the Lord fully, you follow Him all the way through. As Paul wrote his final epistle in 2 Timothy chapter 4, his execution imminent. These were his deathbed words. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering," 2 Timothy 4:6. "The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." I'll have you notice, he said, "I have fought the good fight." He didn't say, "I won every single battle." But you see, falling down doesn't make you a failure or a quitter. Staying down does. He kept fighting the good fight. He realized he had not yet finished the course. He kept his faith all the way to the end. And because of that, he could have confidence even in death, that the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me the crown, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing. We cannot reach that point when we just become satisfied with where we are. This is an effort that says, "I'm going to keep fighting, I'm going to keep pressing forward, and I will not stop. I will resist the temptation to shrink back. I will press forward until I reach the goal, until I reach the land promised to God's faithful, the place where I belong. Here I will continue camping in a land that is not mine. I will realize that evil must be driven out of my midst, and I will keep marching until I've reached the city of God." Follow the Lord fully means you complete what you started. We learned that from Caleb. The descendants of Caleb, as you can imagine, came to be known as the Calebites. Now, folks, I didn't say Campbellites. I said Calebites. But can you imagine a better compliment than that? I am of Caleb. I'm following the man who followed the Lord fully. What better way to show our devotion? What better way to bring us closer to our eternal reward? Jesus said, "If any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Are you ready to follow the Lord fully tonight? I can't tell you that it's going to be an easy road. I can't tell you that all your problems are going to go away. But you'll have a perspective looking from God's throne in heaven where everyone else would say, we can never do it, I'll never be able to overcome, and you can say, the Lord is with me, and we will be victorious. Would you come and confess your faith tonight in Jesus as the Son of God? Would you come and repent of your sins and be baptized and become His disciple and follow Him wherever He leads you? Those steps of Jesus end at God's throne in heaven, our eternal reward and home, our promised land. If you're subject to heaven's invitation tonight, won't you come right now while we stand, while we sing?